In developing people smart for ministry skills, the fact of the matter is it's hard. You're good at one thing, you're not good at the next thing. There's this obstacle, you talk too much here, you listen too much there. You're trying to get pitched differently. It seems overwhelming, using hands the right way, the wrong way. You're trying to be bold, but not too bold. You're trying to have charisma, but not phony or fake, and be likable, but not forced. How to make a good first impression, but keep it up. At some point, you look at all of these people's skill things, and you go like, oh, how am I going to learn these things? I read a book recently called David and Goliath, and it was a great book written by Malcolm Gladwell, and he writes about how you can overcome and there's that you can find advantages even in some of your disadvantages, how you can make a situation where the giant is so big in your life, and like David of the Bible, you can find those five stones and with a sling take down a giant. In a lot of ways, that's what we do when it comes to people smart. So we find those areas that we need to grow in and find what God has for us, and we find how to take our disadvantages and make them advantages. I want to share with something with you about an area in my life where I've struggled. This is sort of my testimony about a disadvantage that God has helped me deal with, grow from, even be used by God in a mighty way. You see, I grew up dyslexic, and I know so many of you students have struggled with disabilities as well. But a dyslexic person has struggled with reading, and I struggled with reading. I don't think I read my first full book until sometime in high school. And I somehow had to figure out how to get through all these classes with, you know, I changed words backwards and forwards. I learned how to not like reading at all. In some of the early grades, I scored very poorly. I would pass. But somehow in there, I learned that I had to figure out how to still communicate. I remember when I heard the calling into ministry, already when I was 12, my grandma talked about how prophets are raised up, and from Jeremiah 1, she read that passage, and I knew that was me. And I remember walking after grandma said that and feeling the Holy Spirit say, you know, you're going to be a leader, a pastor. And I remember saying, well, I can't even read. I mean, can you imagine me being a pastor? I had a voice lisp. So when I talked, I had annoying things going on. So I couldn't read. I had a voice lisp. So here I was trying to figure things out, and I kept going through it. And I was encouraged recently by reading David and Goliath because he talked about me. I suffered from dyslexia. And so I never really realized how even something like dyslexia can be a powerful advantage. And this has encouraged me. Anyway, this is the nature of dyslexia. This is according to Malcolm Gladwell in his book, David and Goliath. They don't have many brain cells in those regions as they should. Okay, so hear me. In my brain, I don't have as many brain cells for reading. As the fetus or baby develops in the womb, neurons are supposed to travel to an appropriate area of the areas of the brain, taking their places like pieces on a chalkboard. So we divide things up. You know, I just realized before I was talking about this book, and I called it Goliath and David. It's David and Goliath. But for some reason, the neurons of dyslexics somehow get lost along the way. They end up in a wrong place. The brain has something called the ventricular system, which functions as the brain's entry and exit point. Some people with reading disorders have neurons lining their ventricles like passengers stranded in an airport. So, in my brain, when it came to learning how to read and reading, there were definitely challenges. While the image of the brain is being made, a patient performs a task. This is when they're studying this. And then a neuroscientist looks at what part of the brain has been activated in response to their task. If you ask a dyslexic to read when he or she is having a brain scan, that the parts that are supposed to light up may not light up at all. So I even have that when I'm doing presentations and sermons and I'm reading the Bible, I have to read really slow or I trip over every word or I mispronounce words. A lot of times when I'm doing presentations here at CLI and I'm trying to communicate, I mix up words. Sometimes I'll have grammatical issues. And many of you at CLI have seen how when I talk, you can expect there's going to be a mistake here and there because basically that's a disability that I have struggled with. So if you look at that scan, the scan looks like an aerial photo of a city during a blackout. Dyslexic use a lot more of the right hemisphere of their brains during reading than normal readers do. The right hemisphere is the conceptual side. That's the wrong half of the brain for a precise and rigorous task like reading. Sometimes when a dyslexic reads, every step will be delayed. And if the different parts of the brain responsible for reading were communicating via a weak connection. So it's as if there's something that holds us back in reading. Dyslexia is a problem in the way people hear and manipulate sounds. The difference between ba and da is a subtlety in the first 40, get this, milliseconds of the syllable. Human speech is based on the assumption that we can pick up that 40 millisecond difference. And that difference between ba sound and da sound can be the difference between getting something right and getting something catastrophically wrong. Can you imagine the consequences of having a brain so sluggish that when it comes to putting together and building blocks of words, those crucial 40 milliseconds simply go by too quickly? So maybe you were the cool kid on the playground when you were 4. Then you entered kindergarten and all your peers suddenly started reading and you can't figure it out. So you get frustrated. Your peers may think you're stupid. Your parents may think you're lazy. You have very low self-esteem, which leads to an increased rate of depression. Kids with dyslexia are more likely to end up in the juvenile system because they act up. It's because they can't figure things out. It's important to our society to be able to read. So, can dyslexia or something that you have been handicapped with, something that is a great struggle, can dyslexia turn out to be a desirable difficulty? It's hard to believe that it can, given how many people struggle with the disorder throughout their lives, except for a strange fact. An extraordinarily high amount of successful entrepreneurs are dyslexic. A recent study by Julie Logan at City University London puts the number somewhere around a third. Get that. A third of the most successful people in this world are dyslexics. The list includes many of the most famous innovators of the past few decades. Richard Branson, the British billionaire entrepreneur, is dyslexic. Charles Schwab, the founder of the discount brokerage that bears his name, is dyslexic, as are cell phone pioneer Craig McCaw, David Neyland, the founder of JetBlue, John Chamberlain, the CEO of technology at giant Cisco, Paul Afrelia, the founder of Kinko's, to name a few. The neuroscientist Sharon Thompson Schills remember speaking at a meeting of prominent university donors virtually all of them successful business people, and on a whim, asking how many of them have ever been diagnosed with learning disorder, dyslexia. Half the hands went up. She said it was unbelievable. So, a possible, desirable difficulty? There are two possible interpretations for this fact. One is that this remarkable group of people triumphed in spite of their disability. They are so smart and so creative that nothing, not even a lifetime of struggling with reading, can stop them. The second, more intriguing possibility is they succeeded in part because of their disorder itself. They learned something in their struggle that proved to be an enormous advantage. Now, go back to my journey. So, I had to figure out how to get through high school. This meant that I had to talk to a lot of people, many of them who knew the answer and who could find the answer and share the insights before the test. I remember when I went to college, I remember looking at my life, and part of this, honestly, is in part you have to be motivated. You know, of that one-third that make it, if you have a disability, things come harder, and you have to have that sense of calling and drive. So many of you have disabilities that I can't even imagine. So you need that calling and drive. But I remember coming to Dort College, and already at that point, I sensed that I was going to be called into ministry. And I knew I had these learning disabilities. So I found a major, I picked it, that I knew I had to face reading. So I picked philosophy. And I remember those first papers in philosophy, my philosophy professors were like, "What? These papers are below standard." So I went to talk to the professor, and I talked with him a lot and listened to everything that was being said doubly. I mean, I paid attention in class because I knew that I couldn't read that well. So I would talk with him, and slowly on, I read slower, and I read 2-3 times the same text that someone else could read and get right away until I knew what it was. And through my 4 years of college, and I graduated with a philosophy degree, and my grade point average wasn't quite A, but it was in the high B range at the undergraduate level because I was determined. It was a calling that I knew I was to be a pastor. I had to learn about ideas. Then I had another issue. Because of the dyslexia, I could not communicate very well or read very well. And pastors and leaders who are in front of people need to at least communicate enough to take the next step. So what I did is they had a radio station. And so I went to the radio station manager and said, "Could I be announcer? I mean, I would do it for free." And he said, "Well, no." So I went back again. So finally, he called me up because no one wanted to stay the whole summer while all the other students went home. Nobody wanted to stay and do like the late shift. And I told him, "I really can't read." He goes, "Well, I need you so badly that you'll practice and practice and practice until you do it." So I stayed the entire summer reading script, time again. Now I will tell you, I made some funny bloopers. I called Arlington National Arlington National Seminary on the air. So, I mean, it was funny. If you could have listened to me back then, you go like, "Wow, how could they hire that guy?" But nobody else wanted to do it. I found ways. And it goes into what Malcolm Gladwell talks about, beyond capitalization learning. A young boy named Tiger Woods is unusually coordinated for his age and finds that the game of golf suits his imagination. So he likes to practice golf. And because he likes to practice so much, he gets even better. And on, in a kind of a virtuous cycle. That's called capitalization learning. We get good at something by building on the strengths we are naturally given. So Tiger Woods could golf. Maybe it's, someone who is in a choir or something like that. You know, but desirable difficulties have the opposite logic. In their CRT experiments, Alter and Oppenheimer made students excel by making their lives harder, by forcing them to compensate for something that has been taken away from them. That's what Bose, and he was a prominent dyslexic, was doing well when he learned to listen. He was compensating. He had no choice. He couldn't read. He was such a terrible reader that he had to scramble and adapt and come up with some kind of strategy that allowed him to keep pace with everyone else. So capitalization learning, I talked about a choir. If you've got a beautiful voice, it's easy to capitalize that and learn what's next in order to be in the choir. If you want to study law like Boyce wanted to do, he had to figure out how to get information. So what he did is he got study groups, he got summaries of documents. That's beyond capitalization learning. Most of the learning we do is capitalization learning. It's easy and obvious. If you have a beautiful voice and perfect pitch, it doesn't take much to join the choir, like I mentioned before. Compensation learning, on the other hand, is really hard. Memorizing what your mother says while she reads to you and then reproducing the words later in such a way that it sounds convincing to all those around you requires that you confront your limitations. It requires that you overcome your insecurities and humiliation. It requires that you focus hard enough to memorize the words and have the panache to put on a successful performance. Most people with a serious disability cannot master all those steps, but those who can are better off than those who have been otherwise, because what they learn out of necessity is inevitably more powerful than learning that comes easy. So, one result. Malcolm Gladwell talks about one of those dyslexics who found a way to overcome those many challenges and disabilities. My upbringing allowed me to be comfortable with failure. Now think about that. The one trait that a lot of dyslexic people I know of is that by the time they got out of college, our ability to deal with failure was very highly developed. And so we look at most situations and see more of the upside than the downside. Because we are so accustomed to the downside. It doesn't faze us. I thought about it many times. I really have, this dyslexic said. Because it defined who I am. I wouldn't be where I am today without my dyslexia. I never would have taken the first chance. So, I know for me, my whole childhood was failing reading, failing many things, and still somehow having to overcome obstacles. It caused me to pray more. It caused me to ask God for help more. It caused me to ask who I am more. It did not come easy. I had to confront many obstacles. I remember when we started Christian Leaders Institute, everybody was saying, "What? Don't we have seminaries all over the world? Why are you doing this?" Online, free ministry training, high-quality free ministry training. In fact, more than one person were talking about, well, you weren't the smartest student out there. I had to listen to, you know, all of these things. So what did it do? Is it said, okay, I am called to do this. Obstacles? My whole childhood has been about obstacles. Setbacks? Yeah, I know them. Being put into a certain group because you can't read? I understand that. But who am I? What am I called to do? So I have some disabilities. So you students and graduates are going to have to listen to some of my disabilities, deal with things when I make typos and don't communicate correctly and, you know, say the word at the wrong time. Hey, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to, like, go into a hole and stop? No, because I have a calling by God, and all of these things that at times seem like a disadvantage are not disadvantages at all. That's what God does. He uses our lives wherever they are, and whatever we have to overcome, He can help us. what people smart disadvantage are you dealing with? Are you too introverted? What, is that going to hold you back? No. Figure out how even introverted people can control the temperature of a room. Are you too extroverted? Oh, I was extroverted. Those are some of the ways I made up for some of my lackings. I was some of a clown of the class. And you know, hey, but I can be too extroverted. I have to learn how to be quiet and listen more. Maybe you've been too hurt. What's happened to you just always hurts you and holds you back for just having a free communication with people. You're hurt. You have bitterness. You're afraid because, and you can give 100 excuses why you can't do something. Are you too angry? You meet someone and they push your buttons and they remind you of someone that you hate. You know what? You have to figure out how to forgive. Maybe you feel you've been too defeated. Hey, you had victory in Christ. Or you're too ignorant. You just don't know enough. Now, your relationship with Christ is a key component in dealing with those disadvantages. And I don't know what your disadvantage is. Maybe you are injured. Maybe you're disabled. There could be 100 disadvantages. But I ask you, who are you? Because when you become people smart, it's sort of like you're saying, you know, I have a calling and I am not going to let anything hold me back. I'm going to stay humble. I'm going to stay teachable. I'm going to do what God is calling me to do. And it may not be easy. This People Smart in Ministry class may be different than all the other classes in this way. Many of the other classes deal with intellectual knowledge. I mean, I know some deal with practical knowledge like pastoral care and marriage, ministry training and so forth, and you know, church and ministry. And there are other practical insights peppered in all of our classes. But this class may for you, you face some of your disadvantages, whatever they are, and how they relate to people skills. And I don't know what those disadvantages are, but I know this. God will help you. If you take serious this opportunity you have before you to grow in whatever you need to overcome, God is there for you. You know, one thing I did is I faced those areas. You know, I bought books to help me. You know, I actually now enjoy reading. I still read slow. You know, even as I give these presentations, if someone who studies dyslexics know, they know that guy is a dyslexic. And when I go up to preach on Sunday and I'm reading a scripture passage, even if I practice it, I am still reading word by word. Now, I'm reading word by word slow enough that most people think, wow, I understood what you're saying. But there'll always be a slip up of a word or two or reverse words and all those things. And I don't feel bad about them. I just keep practicing and keep doing whatever I can to glorify God. So whatever your situation is, do not be defeated. God has a plan. God will help you take that next level. And whatever gets in the way, I believe God will help you take that apart, take it away from you, take that next step to be effective in your people's smart skills for ministry.